of giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He's making a pun there, really. He says the word three or four times there, verbal in a noun form of grace. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended, what is it but he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. I want to help us to understand, we've been gifted to serve this morning. Gifted to serve. You can be seated. You be seated, our elementary, middle school folks. You can vamos. And toward the back there, that's a good word, toward the back there. And we want to be gifted to serve. Excuse me. And they look happy. Gifted to serve. Let me see. The clicker is gone. So if anybody knows where the clicker is, behind me, the clicker has been found. And all right. The clicker is clicking. All right, very good. And so years ago, I traveled a little more than I do now. And for a while there, I was almost out of the country, like twice a year. I was out of the country enough, I got on a watch list or two. Anybody know what that means if you're flying? It means delay. And it usually means you get to see a little room. And because I was going back and forth to Cuba, I got on a watch list I didn't want to be on, because I'd go in, and so we go in like this, and I never forget, man, Miami Airport. Finally, we did it enough. Some of the guys kind of recognized me, and they'd start to pull us, and one guy said, "It's okay, they're preachers." And they go, "They don't look like preachers." And I don't know what that meant. I don't know what that meant to the guy, but he said, "You don't look like preachers." And I said, "God bless you." He said, "Okay, I reckon so." And so we moved us on through. But we would go and there wasn't anything to buy. Wasn't anything to buy in Cuba that you wanted to take back. It just and if you found anything you really wanted to buy, go figure, it was made in Taiwan. Or China, or it was kind of recycled. And so after a trip or two, I mean, I was done. I was done with tchotchkes. I was done with things. And so there wasn't anything really to bring back. This is 2005 through about 2010. And so our kids were younger. And so they got where they expected a gift. And so I got pretty good at the airport there. I would try and find them a candy bar or something. And again, it was usually from Venezuela. Sometimes it was from Mexico. And it was usually a Nestle candy bar. And I say, how do you know that? Because it said Nestle on it. And wasn't any hiding. But it was a little sweeter, a little different. And then it usually had some Spanish on it. So it was a big deal. And it was really cheap. And I get a big candy bar. And I go, and I don't know what happened. I was probably running my mouth. I had a group with me, and sometimes I'd be gone 5 days, sometimes I'd be gone 10, 12. And then if we went to Brazil, Brazil, there was stuff you could buy there. That was pretty neat. But anyway, I come back, and I flew out, and about halfway over the Atlantic there, the Gulf, I go, man, I didn't get the kids anything. Oh, man, well, I can't go home. I don't have a gift. You know, anybody ever think crazy things like that? You know, I've failed. I don't have them $2 worth of chocolate. And so so I'm coming back and I'm panicking, get through security and all that. And I'm sitting there and usually end up same little place, fly back to Raleigh-Durham Airport. And I'm sitting there and I look over and sure enough, there's one of those kiosk places. Nod your head if you understand. And they got magazines and somebody went to Miami and all I got was a t-shirt, you know, they had all that stuff there and the magazines. And I'm like, man. And so I go up and there's nothing that looks good to me there. And truth of the matter is, there's nothing I don't think the kids will eat. And it's just goofy stuff. And I'm thinking, well, I can get them some Tums. You know, I've never brought that back. And, you know, I get them a New York Times. And I'm there, and I just decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just grabbing all of it. Look at me for a second. How many of you understand things cost more in an airport kiosk than they do other places? But I'm so convicted, and I'm so upset, and I'm so offended that I'm a bad father. So I just grab a whole bunch of candy bars and things like that, And they ring it up, and whatever it was, it was outrageous, $18, $20. And I'm like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, yes. Do you want it in a bag? I want it in two bags. Because I want it to look like I didn't forget. And so put those in my carry-on. I get back, and everybody's waiting for me at the airport, and the kids are hugging on me, and Andre's like, thank the Lord, you're home, they're yours. And that's not how it went, but it's close. And they're there, and what'd you bring us? Yeah, why'd you bring it? And I forget that the children can read. I don't know why I forget this. But anyway, and so the two little bags have got Miami International Airport, you know, on it. And so I bring it out, and Allison's going, where'd you get this? Doesn't matter. And anyway, and they open it up, and Riley goes, man, this is the most candy you've ever brought us. I said, because it's guilt. And I didn't say that, but it's what I'm thinking. It's guilt. You know, here you go. And Alice is getting this, and she's kind of looking at me, and she's whispering in my ear, problem? You know, whatever, how old she was, 9 or 10 times. Yeah. Do you not want it? No, I want it. And I said, I'll do better next time. She said, okay. And Riley's got two at a time. You know, he's going well. And there, and I felt so bad, because that was what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to bring back a gift. I was supposed to show how much I cared. Some of you are going, what did Andre want? Andre wanted help with the children. That's what I gave her. I got back. Again, there was just nothing to buy. And I mean that sincerely. Just nothing, anything we want or use. And so we're there, and I love that. I thought about that all the time. I like it. I like when somebody goes somewhere and brings back something. I enjoy that. So one of the guys in our Thursday morning groups headed overseas. I told him I wanted a Toblerone, an authentic Toblerone. I don't know I care for Toblerone, but I like the idea of a Toblerone from overseas. And bring that back. When we think about gifts and gifting, we like it. And we think about gifts and gifting is something for us to enjoy. It's a gift to receive. And that is not what is going on here in chapter 4. In chapter 4, these are not gifts to enjoy, but these are gifts to employ. These are not trophies. These are tools. And I want to walk us through that for a second. I want to walk the fact that you, if you are a follower of Christ, have been given at least one spiritual gift, one tool to serve in a church, to build up the body of Christ, and give you some principles how to work through that. You're in Ephesians 4. We're there. We said a couple of weeks ago, Brian Chappell said that these three chapters, four, five, and six, are the owner's manual for the church. So when he's talking about grace here, everybody with me? When he's talking about grace here, he's not talking about saving grace. That's chapter 2, that's chapter 1, that's chapter 3. He's not talking about saving grace. He's talking about serving grace. And he's using that idea of a gift. This is something that has been bought and is given to you for a particular reason. Again, he's not handing out trophies. And that's what we normally do, right? Somebody's like, man, that's a great singer. Oh, I will move heaven and earth to go to their concert, and you are the greatest person ever. Look, it's wonderful you think that, but they may just be singing. That's all. They may be a terrible person with a great voice. I mean, that's just the long and the short of it. They may be a great writer, but that's all that there is. They don't do anything else for Jesus. They don't live like they're supposed to. He's not handing out things. And again, in our celebrity culture, this is tough for us because we like, man, that's it. That's it. Man, that person had 1 million views on their video. God must really be using him. They might have just had a catchy title. Okay? He's not handing out trophies, handing out tools. Give or take 20 plus, depending on how you want to count them, spiritual gifts listed out for us in the New Testament. Now, here we go. Now, here's the pause. At this point, you're going, okay, I know a lot about spiritual gifts, and I believe God has equipped me to serve. And you're going, check, you're in. And then some of you are going, what do you mean, spiritual gifts? What do you mean I've been equipped to serve? I just came here today because I heard there was free stuff. And I'm teasing. You know, we're here, and we're like, I just want to receive. I don't want to do anything. I want other people to do. I'm going to give for other people to do. I have the spiritual gift of criticism. It's too warm. It's too hot. The preacher's too loud. He's too overweight. You know, you have the spiritual gift of criticism, not of service. And we're here. No, that's not what we're talking about. So some of you are coming at one way, some of you are coming at it another. And I want to really help us. You have been equipped to walk worthily. That's the first six verses. And now he's saying you are equipped to serve. He's going to go from the gifts to the people in verse 11. These are never an abstract. You have been equipped to serve. Now let me just cut to the end. If you chew me out right now, let me help you. If you would use the giftedness that God has given to you, no church anywhere would ever lack. No church anywhere would ever lack. We might all be sacrificing and slugging it out together, but we would be doing it together. There would be great energy. There would be great peace. There would be great joy. He talks about these unified people at the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4, and now he's talking about these unique people and their unique gifts. Their unique giftedness. Let's walk through the verses just for a second. You still with me here? Let's open up. Go to verse 7 and 8 here. Let's unpack it just a little bit, and I want to give you some principles that'll help you. Let me do a survey. How many of you, if I can help you see, you want to serve the Lord better? You want to serve the Lord better. And how many of you like, I'd love to take that up a step. Love to say, and again, if you hear, oh man, I'm going to get the worst job ever. They're going to give me a toothbrush and tell me to clean the brick outside. You know, no, we're not talking about drudgery. We're not talking about, we're talking about is God has put it in you. Maybe one or two or three or four spiritual giftings that you're able to do and build up the body of Christ. Go to verse 7. Go to verse 7 if you're with me there. Verse 7, he says, unto every one of us, you have a spiritual gift. You have at least one. You have a spiritual gift or spiritual ability. I think I gave that to you. Can't give it to you. This is a pretty common definition, not original with me. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability or skill that enables a believer to perform something specific in the body of Christ with effectiveness and ease. With effectiveness and ease. That's what a spiritual gift is. If you hear a spiritual gift and you think folks on all fours barking at the moon, that's the freaks of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Spirit. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual gift. It's a God-given ability or skill that enables a believer to perform a specific duty in the body of Christ with effectiveness and ease. Some of you, if I've been asking you to do something, I always say the same thing. I want you to be able to do this with joy, because that's a confirmation to me that it's part of your gifting. It's part of your gifting. You say, well, you know, I'm just not a good witness. Just not my gifting. No, witnessing is a command. It's not a spiritual gift. There may be folks that are better at it than you are, but that's a command. We say, well, you know, if I had a lot of money, then I'd be gifted to be able to give. No, you're supposed to be responsible and a steward of what God has given you right now. That's not a gifting. That's a command. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to follow through that. I ain't going on. People make excuses and they say, that's not my gifting. That's not my gifting. I had a guy tell me one time, said, I have the spiritual gift of being a jerk. I said, I have no idea how to respond to that. He said, see? And we like to blame some of these things, and they're not there. So, verse 7, he says, every one of us, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, there's a beautiful scene that the Romans were familiar with and the Jews would have been familiar with. And it was the conquering king or the conquering leader. And they would come back with the spoils of victory, and sometimes they would come back with captives. And they would parade them in front of the people. Can you get it? On either side of the road, they're coming, they're cheering, and these people and these folks are captive. And as an act of mercy, they might free some of it. to show their benevolence. Let me help you for a second. If you hadn't caught it already, the Lord Jesus did what? The Lord Jesus went where we were captive. The Lord Jesus, when we were bound in our sin, and he attained the victory, and he did so and offered us freedom from our sins. That's chapter 1, 2, and 3. And now he comes not just declaring us free, but instead of receiving gifts, instead of receiving those things, he's doing what? Here's something for you. Here's three for you. Here's two for you. Everybody gets something as a part of what I have done and as a part of what I have accomplished. So how do you see that? Verse 8, he's going to ascend. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Verses 9 and 10 there describes the fact that he does what? That the incarnation, verse number 9, then his burial, and then the ascension back there, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There's the declaration to the demons that he is victorious. To these Ephesians' ears, they're catching it. The spiritual nature here, that this is part of the war that has been won, and that he is the victor. Because here's the thought. How in the world do a cuckoo crazy can't agree on what to call each other, people self-identifying as giraffes, everybody drunk all the time, it seems like. Everything a mess. The lawyers have got us over a barrel because nobody tells the truth. How can we minister effectively in all that darkness? Shouldn't we just huddle and wait it out? How am I supposed to promote the glorious gospel of Christ in a sea of sin and the darkness where it's obvious the demons seem to be running the show? He brings us gifts. Tools, equips us. Say, what good are those? Matthew 28, you have all authority. Verse 18, all power is given me in heaven and earth. And he is transferred that. You operate under his authority. Wait for it. Acts 1, verse 8, different word for power. You have all the ability that you need. You can live for him and witness for him and serve him. And now you are absolutely positively equipped. Some of you heard us. We were so proud of ourselves. I reckon back before Christmas. The water heater at the house was ailing. And whoever got the first shower got a good one. The others got a fast shower because it was chilly. And we were there and we were like, man, we don't want to replace the water heater. Oh, no. You know, anybody in here, you automatically go to the worst possible scenario. We're going, what's a water heater? And then it's going to be rusted, and then the pipes, and we're going to have to move. And we're there. And so we went to the omniscient YouTube. And we went to the YouTube. It sounds silly. We started researching. Like, Mike could do this. Mike could just replace these things. They're $24. It can't be that cheap a fix. Somebody would have told us. I don't know. Do we want to waste $24? Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that instead. So we do that, and we get in there, and we're like, we need a socket. Giant, never before I imagined socket. How are we going to turn it? One thing at a time, woman. And, just give me a second. Hey, the same place we bought the things sells a socket. Is it right? I think it's right. It looks right. We measured it. If it is right, it'll be the first thing I ever bought that was right on the first time. Because all I do is buy stuff and then go back and tell the people at checkout, I'll see you in an hour. And we go back and we get the thing. And I was so terrified because we bought the right socket the first time. And we figured out we bought the right elements the first time. I'm scared to replace anything else because I feel like I've got my one for this life. And so we get it, we're in there, we're doing the thing, we drain the tank, and it's got one of those things that if you flush it, it'll shoot out the sediment. So we're shooting out the sediment, and we replace the things, we got the deal, and we're like, okay, what do we do now? So we stare at it, because if it's wrong, it's going to burn the house down. And we stare at it, and we fill it back up, and it's there, and so we wait, and then we, about an hour later, we cut it on, and then starts putting out water, and then the water's warm, and then the water's hot, it's scalding hot. And we're like, well, we got to turn this down. And Andre says, you know, I don't think our water heater's ever worked right. If this is normal, man, this thing is hot. And man, we can all have showers. We can have showers and run the dishwasher at the same time. And I heard Angel, we're doing this. And I look at Andre and I went, you know, in 24 years, 25 years, this may be one of the first things we've ever fixed that worked the first time. And she said, are you scared? I said, I'm terrified. I mean, we stared at that thing every time we thought about it for like 3 days. All right, didn't burn the house down. Again, if we have a house fire right now, this is God accusing me of hubris. And, you know, but we're there, and we had everything we needed. It was really complicated. And instead of a several $100 water heater, man, we got, $24, and then we got a socket. And if anyone needs to borrow it, we have the thing. And we fixed all this stuff. So you're bragging on you? No, I'm just reminding us that if you got the right tool, even a complicated job gets easy. Serve, witness, disciple. That's not like a complicated job to me. I've given you gifts. You've got something somebody else doesn't have. Two or three of you may have the same gift. Some more of you may have something. Everybody's got what they are needed to help and to serve, and you are equipped with these gifts from the Lord as part of His victory parade. And that's how you operate. Again, it's not, if you've got commands and you say those are spiritual gifts, no, those are commands. This is what He has established and helping us with. So here we go. Just quickly. I'm going to rattle these off, and I'm going to give you an application. You with me? Every believer's got at least one. If you're a follower of Christ, you got at least one gift. I'm going to tell you how you can figure those out in just a minute, okay? Every believer's got at least one gift. If you believe that, say amen. If it's new to you, that's okay too. You're like, my gift is that I'm finally here. No, again, I know what you're saying. You said that's obedience. My gift, no. He's given you something. He's equipped you with something to do, several somethings for many of you. Number two, they're given as part of our salvation and are used to build God's church. If you're using your spiritual gifts and people are really impressed with you, you may not be using them correctly. If you're using your spiritual gifts and the church is being built up and people are being saved and the Great Commission's being carried out, then you're probably using your spiritual gifts well. Somebody say amen to that. Again, that's one reason we don't have my name plastered on everything. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to be a blessing to this church here, but I'm supposed to be uplifting Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be better because we're exercising our spiritual abilities and skills that God has given us. Number three, they're different. They fill different roles. But they're all important. Years ago, I served down at Pensacola Christian College, and they would have a opening night kind of thing with all the employees and the professors and everything. And they had a co-electric plant down there. They actually made their own electricity. They made so much, they sold it to surrounding neighborhoods. And the guy was in charge of that got up there, and he said, I just want you to know, we understand, all of you realize that ours is the most important department here, because if without us, you wouldn't have any electricity, you wouldn't have any lights, you wouldn't have any air conditioning here in the sweltering Florida sun. Everybody, ha, 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 clap. He sat down. The guy from the cabinet-making shop got up. He said, well, we appreciate our good brother from the cogeneration plant. We understand that if he didn't have anywhere to sit or a building to house the cogeneration plant, that he would be outside in the elements playing with electricity. And so we understand that in particular. Plus, we're in charge of maintaining all the bathroom facilities. So we realize, in essence, that we are the most critical. And then the guy got up. They did all this arranged. The guy got up from food service and said, yes, but you would all be dead of hunger. And you would be sitting there as skeletons. And we go around. And everybody, and the whole point of the little skit they were doing was, we all matter. We're all valuable. Use those skills. Well, you know, that's a job for the preacher. Maybe, but God's equipped you. I've said it quite a bit lately. We started a fourth group. I'm still probably going to go, but I'm trying to back out of some of the other groups. I don't need to lead. It is not healthy for our church for me to lead four small groups. It's just not. People need to use their giftedness. They need to use their skills. They need to be developed. They need to go forward. We're praying right now. Hopefully, maybe got a, Lord willing, we may have a summer intern, a pastoral student intern. If we can get that worked out and get it all together, and we're praying that way, man, God open that up. Man, free them to use their spiritual giftedness here this summer and do something. They're different. They fill important roles. Number four, they're given not for your building up, for the good of the church. I've said this before. They're given to build up the church. Build the church. Egomania is not a spiritual gift. One of my mentors used to say, a lot of believers are star Christians. I said, Brother Brown, I don't know what you mean by that. You and your homespun goodies here. He said, if you let them be a star, they'll do anything. I went, okay, I get that. I will serve because it upbuilds the kingdom. I will serve because it makes Jesus look good. I will do this, finally. They're meant to give glory to Christ. Again, these are very common principles. I've got half dozen books on the subject here. None of these thoughts are original with me, but they're really helpful. The gift to give glory to Christ. You're there in your Bibles. Go over to 1 Peter 4. Go over to 1 Peter 4. I didn't put it in your notes and all. Go to 1 Peter 4. I want you to see that. You still with me? Say amen. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as oracles. God, any man minister, let him do his ability God has given, that God in all things may be glorified in through Christ Jesus. Excuse me, through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. One of our groups memorized that about a year and a half ago. We do this for the glory of God. You leave a service and you go, man, I really enjoyed that wrong thought. You may be true, but you leave and you go, man, we made much of Jesus today. Now we're getting there, right? I did this and somebody thanks you and you were able to say, man, praise the Lord. You're kind, but praise the Lord. That's the exercise of spiritual gifts. That God be honored. That God be glorified. God be glorified. We all have those. It's a skill. It's a task. It's an ability. You may have one. You may have many. One commentator said it like this. Said there are three no's there. No gift should be sought. God has given them out. No gift should be sought. Now, I wish I could do that. I wish I had an administrative gift. I wish I was more compassionate. I wish that I could do this. Again, you may envy some, but God has given you some specific things. Well, I just, you know, if I could do this, maybe. No gift should be unused. No gift should be unused. To the hurting, take the time you need to heal, please. No gripe from me, none. No pressure from me. To those that are exhausted because others aren't using their gifts and you're overwhelmed. I hate that. Recuperate, please. I mean that sincerely. But to those, maybe you've gotten accidentally and you're spectating. Jump back in. Sign back up. How can I be used? What can I do? Don't leave your gifts unused. Don't leave your gifts unused. Had dinner with a fellow one morning once. I'll never forget. I sat across from him, sat beside he and his wife there. Andre and I had no kids. His son and daughter-in-law were there at the end of the table. Beautiful home. started talking. He said, I might as well tell you. How many of you realize that there's just nothing good ever comes at the end of that conversation, in that sentence? I might as well tell you. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I was a pastor. I said, I thought you were a painter. He said, I was. I said, I am. I said, I understand. He said, I went to Bible college. I got my degree. I went and preached. I preached my first service, our first church. I got done. Said, somebody said something to me at the end of the service. He said, and I've never been in the pulpit again. I said, I don't understand. He said, it's a problem I've got. I couldn't take any criticism. I said, I figure I didn't have it. He said, what do you think about that? By the way, I'm in the man's home eating his food. So what'd you do, preacher? I ate fast. We talked. We talked for a while. We talked on and off for years. That gifting of his, he just stuck right on the shelf. Couldn't get over, couldn't forgive the people, really. Don't unuse them. No gift should be exalted. No gift should be exalted. When you have a multi-staff church, this comes into play, multi-ministry church. People get envious because somebody else is getting praised and nobody knows how to pass it around. Jesus is exalted. Everybody else is just humble servants of the Lord. Give glory to Christ. Give glory to Christ. Say, preacher, you've got me. I'm with you. There's things that are obedience. You know, stewardship's obedience. Witnessing's obedience. Bible reading, prayer. Those are not giftings. Those are obedience. Faithfulness, that's obedience. We're not talking about that. What are we talking about? We're talking about some things that God has given to you, some skills, some abilities that you get to use to further the church and build up the church and further his kingdom. So how do I know? How do I figure it out? You can take tests. You can take quizzes. There are books. There's all kinds of things. When we give you an almost never fails, volunteer. Roll up your sleeves. Volunteer. My youth pastor wasn't sure any of us were called to any kind of ministry. But you know what he figured out he'd do? You go out on Saturdays and you visit this bus route and you ride with him on Sunday and he get an opportunity to go preach somewhere. He says, look, I got four guys, young guys. I'm going to take them, give them 7-8 minutes apiece. Let them speak. Let me see how they do with that. By the way, three of the four of us called into ministry. Jump in. Let me take a turn back there with the young folks. Man, we need some help in this here. Let me just volunteer. Let me see what I can do. I got some administrative skills. Let me take some of that stuff off the pastor's plate. Let me jump in. How can I help? And God starts saying, hey, this is the area I've gifted you. This is something I've done. Because I really do think that's the simplest way to do it. You know what that is? That's not a matter of skill. That becomes a matter of the heart. He's exalted. And I just want to serve him any way I can. And I think a lot of us do things that aren't necessarily our gifting. But we just, whatever I can do for Jesus. Whatever I can do for him. Say, preacher, you made me feel great. Good. That's the text. Say, preacher, I'm feeling a little, again, that's the text. But you know what you can do today? Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. You have given us the tools to do ministry out there and build this place up. That's what spiritual gifting is. If you get done, you're clapping because that was awesome. I think we're missing it. And if you're doing stuff so people will clap for you, you're really missing it. It's for him. For him, you've been equipped to serve. Equipped, gifted to serve. Pray with me right now. Father God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Lord, in January, we said we want to go forward. So the way we're going to do that